Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, it's an incredible morning to be able to be here together and not just doing church in one place, but also there's lots of churches that are going on today. In fact, it's almost every Sunday that I get a text from another pastor or I text them, and hey, praying for you, and just back and forth about what are you guys doing today, what are you speaking on today, that kind of stuff. And then there's always that one person that sends you the meme they shouldn't send, and it's Sunday morning, you're like, you need to go to the altar and get things right with God, you know, those kind of things. But there's lots of great churches in this valley, and I love it. I love being able to partner with that. We have a prayer gathering that we do a couple times a year here at Rock Harbor called the Shepherds of the Valley Prayer Rally. I'll give you one guess who named it that. It's me, and it was available. I was surprised, like, who wouldn't want to create a gathering of pastors called Shepherds of the Valley Prayer Rally? But it's been great to be able to stay connected and encouraged. God's doing some incredible work around our city. One of those churches happens to be Cole Community, who is studying through the Beatitudes with us. And so each and every week, they are online with us during the message. They have their own music that we're coming alongside them with. And so once again, Rock Harbor, can we say good morning?
Good morning.
That got serious. Something like, woo, felt it. I hope you guys felt that over there. We love you and are excited to be able to be part of this. We got about five more weeks left. And then also, this part of town, Cole and Eustick happen, actually, well, it's Eustick and Maple Grove, happen to be where my first apartment was. My wife and I lived in an apartment right across the street from Pojo's. If you've never been to Pojo's, you haven't even lived. Like, you don't even know what's out there. But yeah, I think... Yeah, you can jump in the ball pit, get a lot of immunities for a lot of things and stuff like that. But it's a great, a fun place. And being a youth pastor, it was my jam. And so a lot of youth events at Cole Community, and glad to have you guys part of the series. Hey, we're going to jump right into Matthew chapter 5, as we have been, verse number 6. And this verse today is really going to redirect or maybe add some appetite to our life, some direction for our life. Some, like, maybe you're feeling like, I'm kind of dissatisfied with some things in my life. This gives you a clear direction on where to head with things. Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Or maybe your Bible says filled. There's a hunger, there's a thirst that we're looking to have met, and it's found in Christ. See, this hunger and this thirst, the world would tell us it's all these different things. This will provide happiness. Blessed are the means congratulations are you. Happy are you, but not a temporary happiness, because remember, there's an eternal promise at the end that you will be satisfied now and for eternity. See, when we come to the presence of God empty-handed, while we stay in his very presence, we're filled up. You come to his presence, we have nothing to offer him. Think about what we've studied over the last couple of weeks, that if blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the poor in spirit. That's recognizing who you are and who God is. Mourning over our sin. Last week, meekness, like emptying yourself. Like, yeah, it's not about power and control. It's power under control. It's denying yourself. It's the same thing Jesus said, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross. If you're not denying yourself, then you're not a follower. So it's this emptying of ourself. We have nothing. We come to his presence empty-handed, but we, as long as we're in his presence, not when we leave, as long as we're in his presence, we are filled up. So he's talking about hunger and thirsting, and for most of us, we live in a first world country, but in this day and time, there were people that really had dealt with hunger, really had dealt with being thirsty, being like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. Am I going to make it through? This is difficult. This is challenging. So he's saying some things that are really connecting with this crowd. And we don't know. There's some debate. I kind of lean more towards the no than the yes, but that this might have been when he's fed 5,000. Could have been. We know it was in an approximate, you know, similar area. But this was a place where people began to follow because of the miracles that were taking place. And there were lots of needs. Lots of needs. To be hungry. To really be thirsty. But then have an appetite. Because the world changes our appetite. We start chasing after things that give us a short feeling but not a satisfaction. See, it was 2002 and I was a cutting-edge youth pastor. And, you know, don't read blogs out there, I was, okay? I did what most youth leaders did. I took something relevant in the world like Krispy Kreme donuts, because ours opened that year. It was a big, big deal when it opened. And I made our camp theme with their logo. Look at this. Hungry? It went over a little better back then. And yes, it's pixelated. It was then, it is now, and we liked it, okay? But it was, their logo was hungry, you know? We had shirts and all of that. These are a couple of freshman girls. A couple of them are in ministry now. The one in the middle, we don't know exactly if she died from the bee that's on her forehead or not, but that picture's amazing. It's like God is going, those are my bee attitudes. Blessed are the hunger, those who hunger and thirst. For right, that didn't go well. Once again, I'm threatening to start attending Cole, because if this room doesn't start engaging with me, I will go to Cole. And some of you are like, get loud. Or some of you are like, don't ever laugh again. We'd love to get rid of the guy. This was the theme, and it was all about like, man, I want to hunger and thirst after God. I want to chase after him. Nothing in this world will ever satisfy like his very presence. But we get appetites because we have the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, pride of life. These are the sins that come to us. Every sin, like it's things that we see, it's things that we see other people have, it's things that we want that coming from our flesh. Man, I want this. I wished I had. The pride of life, not admitting that we're wrong, not admitting that God is sovereign, putting him in an improper place. And that's where a lot of it comes from. Because righteousness is really, righteousness is godness. God created us in a certain way and by a certain design. So if we're going to try to define righteousness, it's God's design for us. It's God's biblical, it's his standard. It's the biblical standard of like perfection. God created us for all of our desires, every attribute in us, our actions, our behaviors, our words to all reflect him. Now, he's the source, he's the author, and we have deviated from his plan for us. There's nothing that's righteous outside of him. We need him, right? I mean, sinlessness ended in the garden, and we have carried that out continually. Look at what Romans says about his righteousness. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside together. They have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. We do nothing that's good. Anything that's good comes down from God. Think about it. You don't have these, you may have good desires, but they're not righteous ones. You may have moral things, but apart from God, it's you and I going, we can't, but he can. It's us surrendering. You know, you can become righteous according to Scripture and according to God's plan, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We can become the righteousness of God in him. It's only because we've surrendered to him. It's only because we've confessed sin to him. It's only because we've died to ourself. And our righteousness is his righteousness alive in us. He doesn't see our sin. He sees the blood of his own son on a cross that's been received, and it covers us. That the old would become new. What a picture that we had today here. To think we have 32 people being baptized today here at Rock Harbor. How incredible is that? Yeah. And it's a life that's saying, this is me, broken, sinful, buried in the likeness of his death as Christ was buried. He wasn't sprinkled, wasn't a little bit of dirt tossed on. It's dead, but raised to life in Christ. He's our righteousness. And because of him, we can be made right. The new has come. There's this newness. Now, where's the new appetite? Now, we're given positional righteousness in Christ, that salvation and surrender to him, his blood covering us, forgiveness of sins. We can't perform it. But when you read the Beatitudes, it's not like, hey, I want to be poor in spirit. Man, I want that. I want to inherit the earth. It's more like submitting. It's like we have the root of salvation in our life. But where's the fruit of salvation? And that's the Beatitudes. The fruit of salvation, mourning over your sin. The fruit of salvation, having an appetite and a hunger for the righteousness of God. To want the Lord sovereign over your life. To chase after him in the morning, to follow him during the day, and to go to bed. Handing it over. I can't will a single soul to you, Christ. I'm going to rest that you're pursuing people. God, use me. It's a full surrender to his righteousness. Think about righteousness the way that God created the earth. He created the earth in relationship. He walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He had a relation. They were, his very breath filled their lungs. We are his creation. He gave his only son for us. Everything that God does is relational. Even look at the Ten Commandments. Those are rules. Those are 10 laws that were given through Moses to God's people. Well, if you read the first verses before the Ten Commandments, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of out of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He's saying, I've rescued you. I am calling you from the destruction, the pain, the appetite for the things of the world into my life. Life that comes in being in the household of God. And then he says, just like the garden, same thing. And then he says, you should have no other gods before me. It was the relationship and then the institution of the regulation. The guidance, the protection, the love. It's like if you're a parent, you have rules and regulations, but it's guidelines, right, in your home. But it's to protect and keep the unity, and you're not going to let sin run rampant through a home. So there's going to be guidelines. But the appetite that this world grants us, it gets twisted by sin. It gets twisted by brokenness. Sometimes we get hungry for something else because we get tired of the usual. You ever burned yourself out on an ice cream? I didn't ask like Brussels sprouts, broccoli, hominy. Are you kidding me? Hominy? Let's like just fatten up a piece of corn. Like fatten it up if you're going to make a Frito, but don't fatten it up like so that you can gurgle something down. But you ever burned yourself out of an ice cream? I burned myself out of Swedish fish once. Oh, don't worry, they're coming back. Those fish are running. I mean, it is like, whoo, they're swimming upstream. And down to my hips. But it's literally like you burn yourself out on it. You're like, I'm kind of done. I kind of got tired of that. I got burned out on Reese's once. That lasted a week, you know. And in the middle, I was hitting fast breaks. Those things are so good. You burn yourself out. Like, you ever got dissatisfied? Getting dissatisfied might be where you find yourself, where you're just here today, you're watching today, you're over at Cole today, and you're like, I'm kind of dissatisfied with what has become the norm in my Bible study, what has become the norm in my home, what's become the norm with my rhythm and my schedule. Like, I'm done. I want a fresh start. Because out of dissatisfaction can brew a pathway to satisfaction. Something can start from something that's tired, and I think we're pretty tired of the norm. Psalm 27:4, one thing I've asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. David is saying, like, of all the things, there's nothing greater than dwelling in the house of the Lord. There's nothing greater than fixing my eyes on the beauty of the Lord, to seek him, to build his temple. For me, now that we're in the New Testament and Jesus Christ has came, we are the temple. He indwells himself in us. His spirit lives inside of us. The old is gone. The new is come. There's a newness. But happiness, when it says blessed, happiness and blessedness are close, but they're not the same. Because it also says in 1 Peter 3:14, but even you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled. Like, even in suffering, there may not be, oh man, I'm so happy when I suffer, but there is a blessedness that comes in the suffering. See, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, there will be a happiness. See, humanity pursues happiness and they end up with emptiness. They're pursuing happiness, but Jesus is saying, hey, if you desire righteousness, you're going to find happiness. So he's just flip it around a little bit. If you hunger and thirst for happiness, you will find neither. But if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will find both. That's interesting. It's just about having God in his first place. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's him first. It's a relationship with him and then a relationship with others. He needs to be our first appetite. He's our hunger. He is where satisfaction will come. In scripture, over and over, Jesus is referred to as the living water. Jesus is the living water that quenches our thirst. He's the living water that quenches our thirst. And this is an eternal thing. That's why David wrote, as the deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for you, O God, for the living God. The quenching of our thirst. I don't know about you, but I was raised right. And I was raised drinking out of a hose. I was raised drinking out of a hose. I remember putting it in my brother's mouth and then turning the hydrant on. The sin in his, that's probably part of his problems. It's called waterboarding. It would just like come out his nose. It was great. I remember one time almost like breaking his teeth because I said, just bite on the end. And I was raised doing that. I was raised drinking out of a drinking fountain. It's the craziest thing. I know you guys don't understand that these days, but drinking fountains are made for consumption. Like after recess, I would act like this is the last water on earth. And I'm like, just get in there and just go for it. When we adopted our children, Yemi and Natty in particular, the first experience with a water fountain was like, it kept them busy in the airport for 2 hours as we're like laid over in Frankfurt, you know, and they're like, oh my goodness, you know, it was just awesome. The hand dryer was scary to a child. I remember Natty was like, duh! I was like, it's good, you know. Escalators, elevators, those were all fun as well. But nothing like the water fountain. I never knew I would live in a day where what you drink your water out of actually defines certain things about you. You've seen this, right? What people drink their water out of. You've got the hydro flask. You know, it's like, oh, I've got my hydro flask here. I put my stickers all over it. I feel bad for this person because obviously they go to Rock Harbor, but they're also a Bears fan. And so they... In a dry and weary land where there's no water or championships. I thought being a Cowboys fan was rough, but boy, pray for this person. But you could have this, and this just says a lot, and you're just like, ding, 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 and you just drop it, and it's like, oh, whoops, I did it again. Like, oh my goodness, like my kids, like wear me out. I'm like, bought a perfectly good one, dinged all over the place, losing it places. I'm like, there's a place that has all these hydro flasks. And I think it's their friends' trunk. I really think it is. I've thought about frisking them and asking them to search their car when they come visit. But anyways, this. I don't know what it says about me that this is my water bottle. The Kirkland. I don't know if it's like, hey, Keith, you're a cheapskate. You're a cheapskate. But I will tell you, our kids are not allowed to take these without permission. These are like, we spent money on this. It's a big deal. Go drink out of the faucet. And don't use a cup and make it dirty. Just put your mouth right on the thing. That's how we roll. But you get caught. Like, there have been kids in our home that have been grounded for a week for drinking these. And only drinking half of them. I'm raising my kids right. Use the hose, use the faucet, don't use a cup, and do not touch mom and dad's Kirklands. Okay? It's really simple. There's some of you ladies in here. This is your jam. This is your jam. Be honest. Raise your hand. This is you. Be honest if you have two of them. Be honest if you have three, four, five, and five, five, six, 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 six. Anybody have six? Because if you have six, you need to go to a treatment facility. You need to. This is a problem. How? And the husbands just love it because it's like, ting, 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 ting. They put the ice in it, and it's like, oh, my goodness. You're calling in the cows. It's crazy. But this is a thing. This says, like, who you are. It's absolutely ridiculous. What about the manly? Anybody got the manly? You know, these are dudes going, okay, ladies, it's on. This is actually called the Zeus. 3 liters. It'll keep things cold for a day. 24 hours guaranteed or your money back from Walmart. Just, isn't this just hilarious? 3 liters. This says something about you. You see a dude walking around, you're like, dude works out. You know, you're like, I know he works out. He's trying to stay hydrated so he can, you know, you need to like add some water to your steroid use, guy. You know, it's like chug, chug, you know. So, but water matters. The amount of it, the ways that we consume it, the different, you know, things that the bottle that we're holding, it says about it. But more than that, like it's needed. It's needed for life. Like you have to have water. It really is living water. It quenches our thirst. That's why Jesus, Matthew 7:38, for he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. So you receive living water, and then in addition to that, living water flows through you. You're conduit for it. It's Jesus Christ alive in you. Your appetite to be the thirst that you have, you know, like when you're so thirsty, it fills you can literally feel it hydrating your organs. That's the satisfaction that comes in Christ. It's filling spiritually for your heart, for your life. And there's a hunger also. And the only thing that quenches our hunger is the bread of life. So Jesus is the living water that quenches our thirst, but Jesus is the bread of life that satisfies our hunger. To satisfy our hunger. I remember one time I went to a taco bus on a good recommendation of a friend that has high standards. And I went into a taco bus. They make tacos in the bus. Like you leave, you smell like the taco. And it was packed, it was jammed. And I go in there and like we were still hungry. We went to Taco Bell, got a Crunchwrap Supreme and a couple 7-layer burritos to finish off. I remember I was like so hungry, I was so excited. I'm like, I should have ordered more, but the line is so incredibly long. I was still hungry. Didn't satisfy. See, we live in a place where we can just go to another place to get filled. Like if it's this, if it's going to be this relationship, if it's going to be the career, it's not really a career, but maybe if I get married, maybe if it's this, like it would be fulfilling to be able to share life with someone. If it's this possession, like we're not getting filled, so we just go to the next place. We just go to the next restaurant. We go to the next place where we can get a little bit of filling, but we're never being filled up. Remember, empty-handed, we come before the Lord, and filled up, we stay in his very presence. See, we live in a world, and specifically where many of you live, that hunger's not a thing. But hunger is a thing where I just was in Ethiopia with our team. 19 people walking through what is known as the Kora dump. Walking through this place that you can see the heaps of trash that, like, each one of those bags is money. It's been bought and it's been sold. It's worth something. Either it's bottles, either it's fabrics. But people work in the dump. When the trucks come from the hotels, that's a really, really big deal. So when we're there on behalf of Rock Harbor providing meals, pasta, and oils, and providing finances to pay for these houses that are built in the dump that they don't really own. And at any point, the government could choose to knock it down, but then they rent it as we delivered mattresses to a handful of widows. Widows because they're raising their own children, but the husband they had either A, died, or B, chose, it's very expensive to raise a family, so I'm going to leave. And the mother's heart continues to care for the child. And that's where we come in to meet the need of food, but through a ministry and a church that's there, the deeper need of the gospel. To really be hungry, to see these kids. So when I think of hungering and thirsting, I don't think of my hungering and my thirsting, like because I haven't had something to eat for a couple of hours, or I'm intermittent fasting, so it's a little bit long. That's not a hunger. That's not the depth of the hunger that's being spoke of. I can literally visibly see faces that physically hunger. And to think that I may look a certain way and I may live in a certain place where it's not, it doesn't run rampant. But when you look spiritually, oh my goodness, we are on the cusp of death. And we're living off crumbs. There needs to be a sense of urgency around this. There needs to be a sense of like, we need to do something. My appetite's got to shift. Like, I'm so dissatisfied with where I've been, but this is where the Lord is guiding me to go. So when David says in Psalm 24, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him, not just when things are bad, but all of the time, where we have this hunger and this thirst for righteousness, tasting and seeing that the Lord is good. I never want to go back to the things that I used to nibble on. No, I want the thing that I can fully consume that really actually satisfies me. On Tuesday mornings here at Rock Harbor, seeing a couple hundred guys, 200 to 300 guys, coming and studying the Bible together, I'm knowing I'm speaking on being filled, and here are the verses that we studied. May Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have the strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. To be filled with His fullness. To comprehend, to be rooted and grounded in His love. And the question we answered around those tables are you connected to the source? The source that really fills. And is there an urgency around that? Like, I've got to get water. I've got to get the bread of life. I've got to share this water. I've got to share the bread of life. I've got to share what I've been given in Christ. I need to go. I got to get more. Am I relying on the morsels falling off someone else's table by way of podcast, by way of sporadic church attendance? Like, I'm getting a little bit here. I'm getting a little bit. I turned the radio on this station today. Are we really in it? Is there a sense of urgency? There's a reason when John the Baptist came. He said, repent, for the day of the Lord is near. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus repeated what he said from the time that he began to preach. He was saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Revelation continues this theme. Blessed is the one. I love that. Blessed, right back to the Beatitudes. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. You can look around our world. See, it's what's taking place in the Middle East. You can watch what's happening and you go, okay, where should I align? What is exactly going on here? What is going on? Because Israel is God's chosen people. Well, the time is near. We should want to study that. We shouldn't say, Pastor Keith, you need to preach next week on this because I need a morsel rolling off of the stage of a church. We're to all study. We're to all consume. We're to all be satisfied, for the time is near. The kingdom of God is at hand, and we've never been more closely than we are right now. Then why do we approach the word with lack of urgency? Didn't get around to it today. Yeah, I don't know. Tuesday morning's kind of early. Yeah, it's not every Sunday. Man, I know I've got a lot, and I could really be serving Christ Church, but I don't know. There's some things that are going on. Our appetite is football. Like, you get that? Like, our appetite is family time. Is that important? Yes, it's very important, but it's not to be first. It's not to be first. Have no other gods before me. Our appetite becomes convenience. What's the easiest? What's the fastest? What's the quickest? What's happened? What has happened? We forgot that, first off, not everyone has repented. Like, step one is repent. Be saved. Admit that you've fallen short, and there's only one that can forgive you. There's only one that can lift you up out of our miry sin. And his righteousness is for you. And he doesn't see you as your past. He sees you as his child, saved and rescued and restored. But he didn't make you a child of his. I mean, he's the one that did the saving for us to, like, not be urgent, not be serious, be distracted, be consuming a little bit of this. He didn't create you to just walk around this life like you walk around Costco at 11:45. I'm going to get a little bit of this sample. I'm going to get a little bit of this. I'm going to get a little bit of this. See you tomorrow. I'll be back about that. You going to have some of them Hot Pockets out there? We do that spiritually. You realize. A little bit here. We're living off our spouse. We're living off somebody else. We're living off turning a radio on a certain station. Maybe a podcast. Maybe. I know I haven't been in a while, but I've been watching online. Ha! That's really funny. I have a hard time believing that everybody's watching online. If I had a nickel for every time I've been watching online. We still in Colossians? You've been watching online, man. You're delayed a little bit. You're a few episodes back. Don't hear that as judgment, but where is the urgency? Where's the I can't miss? I don't want one. I'm not waiting on someone else to tell me what the Bible says. I'm choosing it. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'm urgent. I don't want to go another day hoping that maybe I'll have time tomorrow. Because there is an appetite that's already been formed in you and I. And it's so much of this world, we didn't even know where it starts and where it finishes. But to really cling to these words, Psalm 63, oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. In a dry, in a weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and your glory. Because of your steadfast love, it's better. It's so much better than life itself. My lips will praise you, so I will bless you as long as I live. In your name, I will lift up my hands, for my soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. To be satisfied, to be filled. Think about this. You're coming to the King of Kings. And he says, no, be at my table. And you're like, no, I'll take some crumbs that roll off your table. And he's like, no, you are my son. You are my daughter. You have a seat at the feast. You're not living off the breadcrumbs of other people that are better than you. No, you're my son. You're my daughter. Consume. Hunger and thirst for this. For you'll be filled. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, your word is clear. Blessed are those that hunger. Blessed are those that thirst for your righteousness. For we will be filled. God, I pray for a filling today. I pray today we get a glimpse of eternity in the middle of this crazy world. I pray we get a glimpse of clarity. It's about you and you alone. Lord, I pray in your Holy Spirit's power for our appetites just in this last half hour to boom, shift. And all of a sudden, we want something different. We want something of you. All of a sudden, other things don't matter, and you take first place and first priority. God, we love you. We praise you. You created us. You've shown us relationship, and you've given us structure. And it's you first and everything else after. God, we pray a filling today. Not because we've read scripture and we've gathered together, but a filling, because where do we go from here to be satisfied in you, satisfied in your work, satisfied in your righteousness, satisfied in your word that you've granted us, preserved for us and given to us? It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.